Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Preacher and the Teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's. Right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
Kawhi Leonard has made his decision. Southern California native headed back home here to play for the Los Angeles Clippers. Not only that, the Clippers have also made a deal to acquire Paul George from the Oklahoma City Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari heading to Oklahoma City along with a boatload of draft picks. Let's bring in Stephen A. Smith now. Steve, what was your reaction?
Stunned to say the least. The Paul George part is what's stunning. And you have two stars on your team with the Los Angeles Clippers, with the depth that they have, with the coaching staff that they have, with the resources that they have, etc. I can't knock anybody right now who would think that the Clippers might very well be above the Lakers in the pecking order. To hear that Paul George ultimately approached OKC after being recruited by Kawhi Leonard and asking to be traded, and then for this to happen with essentially five different picks along with two players given up by the Los Angeles Clippers.
Shockwaves coming out of Southern California, and I'm not talking about that 7.1 on the Richter scale earthquake that hit last night. I'm talking about an NBA shockwave. The LA Clippers, who yesterday, Larry Johnson, were supposedly out of the race to get Kawhi Leonard. It had come down to staying with the Raptors or going to LeBron and the Lakers. And last night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, 1:58 to be exact, Woj from ESPN had the report. Everybody else in the NBA media got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, including Stephen Smith. And Kawhi has made his decision, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to the Clippers after all. Your response to that, sir?
It's funny. I was on the way in. I happened to have a news station on. My grandson's living out in L.A., so I was curious and concerned, obviously, about the 6.1.
Actually, 7.1. 7.1.
No, I'm talking about the one earlier.
Yeah, well, this was 7.1.
This
was
the second one.
Okay, the second one was 7.1.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was waiting for aftershocks on that, of course. And then
you got your aftershocks.
Last minute, you're walking in here and you're hearing about Leonard finally making a choice. I don't know what, you know, I can't say you're shocked because it was between Toronto, the Lakers, and the Clippers in terms of what was being done. I don't think the Clippers got hurt that much giving up these draft picks.
But wait, you haven't explained why they had to give up those draft picks. There is more, Larry Johnson. Not only did the Clippers acquire Kawhi as a free agent, 4 years, $141 million, they traded a boatload of draft picks and a couple of roster players to Oklahoma City for Paul George. So now Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are playing in L.A. You have LeBron and AD in L.A. occupying that same building. And now suddenly everything changes as far as the landscape in the NBA.
Can you say they'll be rocking and reeling and hanging from the ceiling at the Staples Center? But the thing about the George deal that I find interesting is when you give up a bunch of draft picks, it sounds sexy until you realize these are going to be like late picks.
Well, if you're Oklahoma City, you're hoping that maybe after the four-year contract is over and Kawhi maybe takes his talents elsewhere, or Paul George, who knows what happens to him, maybe those picks are a little bit more lucrative and juicy. But right now, they're unprotected for 22, 24, 26, unprotected in 21 and 23. And it is a little complicated as far as the draft picks are concerned. But basically what happens is every night in the Staples Center out in L.A. in the 1920 season and a couple years beyond, every night is going to be a star-studded occasion when you have the Clippers with Kawhi and PG, you got the Lakers with LeBron and AD. And I'm just kind of wondering, because we're a Boston station, how this affects the Celtics. When I heard about that deal.
I think if the Horford deal had not been made, if he didn't leave, then I'd still feel pretty good about the Celtics. But when he left, they're doing the best they can to patch the pieces together. But I think that was a big loss losing him.
So you don't think that Kemba replacing Kyrie and Cantor coming over from Portland to replace Horford,
Cantor's
on the front line.
Cantor's a good offensive player. Yeah. He's not really strong on defense. And even though we don't like your buddy anymore, Kyrie, he's still a better player.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it.
You can't dispute that.
You're sacrificing talent, but you're gaining a little locker room character. I mean, there's a big step up as far as personality, psychological, and mental makeup. Kemba is a good guy. He's certainly a good talent, not in Kyrie's category. But I was listening to NBA radio this morning. Of course, they were analyzing and dissecting this trade from top to bottom.
What was their overall opinion?
The trade and the acquisition via free agency. And essentially, they're saying there are eight teams now. They think it's parity has arrived in the NBA like it's never arrived before. Certainly, you have it in Los Angeles. But now you have the Lakers, the Clippers, okay? Portland's still a major player. Remember, they were a second or third seed. You got Denver. You got Houston. All those teams. There are five teams in the West. Now, are the Celtics among those eight teams that have somewhat of a shot, legitimate shot, reasonable shot at actually being a player when it comes to NBA playoff time? Are they a major player? Are they part of that, quote, parity mix?
If they are, they're on the lower side.
They're probably number eight.
Yeah.
If you had to seed it right now, they may be the number eight. I'm not talking about in the Eastern Conference. We're talking about if there truly are eight teams that have a shot at winning the NBA. Because the era of the Golden State Warriors, I think, is now ended.
Right.
We knew that anyway.
Durant, he's going to miss the season.
Right. Well, KD and Kyrie are now officially in Brooklyn, which happened after our show last week. A lot of things happened after our show last week. This is a part of the deal when you're working only once a week. Things unfold, and we haven't even talked about KD or Kyrie. We knew Kyrie was headed to Brooklyn. We didn't know that KD was going to be headed there as well. They're going to have to wait a year for that to happen the way they would like it to happen. But you're talking about eight teams. Are the Celtics one of them? Do they have a shot? I would say my first response, though, when I heard that Kawhi was not going to be going back to Toronto was, well, the Celtics have to benefit from that.
Yeah.
I mean, they are now going to have to get past the 76ers. They're still going to have to get past the Bucks, which they certainly did not have any solutions or answers to last year.
Let's see what Leonard's going to do, you know, with Toronto at the time.
Well, he's not there now. So,
I know.
So maybe if you're looking at it, and of course we are a local parochial and provincial team and area, so that's what we do. We always look at it from how it affects our team. And I guess the green teamers are out there are rejoicing on one level, saying that, well, you don't have to get by Toronto in the East. Toronto is no longer a major obstacle. You still have to take down Giannis, and that's not going to be easy. Milwaukee dismantled the Celtics. I don't know how Kemba and Cantor changed that equation at all.
I think Philadelphia, if they can get their act together, the little polishing here and there. But I think Philadelphia has got to be one of the teams to beat in the East.
As they were last year. So I guess if you're looking at it, you have, and I'm just thinking, you have eight teams.
I think the addition of Horford. Yeah. Horford is, he's one of these players. He's not like a, you know, physical bang-em presence or anything, but he's what you'd call a gentleman. Like, he's a really good teammate, a really good player. He's not average Al. He will play his position and play it well. He's good on defense. He can hit the three for you, and he can spell in center if he needs to.
Right.
And so I think that's going to help them out a lot.
Yeah, and he had a very solid year last year, had a solid playoff season, and when the Celtics were right in the playoffs, the first five games, they won five in a row, Al was a major contributor. Even some of those losses to Milwaukee, you know, the medium-range jump shot, the quality work underneath, the leadership ability, all those gone with Horford. And I think he understood,
I think he could have stayed. But I think, to be honest with you, I think he just got fed up with the foolishness.
Oh, yeah.
Way too much foolishness.
Too much dysfunction. Al is steady as she goes. Not a superstar. I think he's going to thrive. I think he's going to make a young 76ers team, an untested 76ers. They went to Game 7, I mean, obviously, against Toronto.
A nice four-year deal.
Right. Yeah. So you look at Simmons, you have Tobias Wolf, you have Horford, Joel Embiid. They're going to be tough. Milwaukee is only going to get better. They re-signed Middleton. Giannis is only going to get better. That's going to be a major hurdle for the Celtics as well, and all those teams out west. So while I think the NBA certainly benefits from Kawhi going to the Clippers to balance out that scene in L.A., maybe balance out the West a little bit.
The Clippers are no longer the stepchild.
Nope. The little brothers are no longer.
And you got Doc Rivers out there. I think he can assemble a nice team.
Well, it is going to be fascinating to see. And it's so funny, though, because this offseason has been absolutely riveting from the moment Toronto won the NBA championship. All the speculation, all the hypotheses. Where is Kawhi going? Are the Lakers going to be able to land AD? What about Durant? Is Durant going to stay in Golden State? Will he spend one more year there nursing that injury back to health? Then shop his wares somewhere else?
He got irritated at the way they handled his injury.
Absolutely.
He didn't like it.
Right.
He thought they kind of forced him, pressured him. But, hey, I'm guilty as charged. I thought he looked good enough to go back out there.
Well,
from what I could see, I mean, I'm not on the medical staff, but, you know.
But it goes to show you how all of this is anything but scientific. It's a lot of guesswork. I mean, I was convinced because I was reading all these media reports yesterday, Clippers are not in it anymore. One tweet said, I can't remember, it was from some prominent media person. The Clippers, 99% have no shot. The Clippers are out of negotiations. it comes down to Toronto or L.A., and that means the Lakers, not the Clippers. So much for that. So I think it's really good for the NBA, more good teams out west. What that means for the Celtics, probably not a whole lot except the fact that one fewer team to worry about in the Eastern Conference. Bad enough, you have to get past the 76ers with Al joining them and Embiid only getting better. Giannis, we know what upside he's got, and Middleton returning. So interesting ramifications and repercussions. Your thoughts on Kawhi? I tell you, my son, big NBA fan, he's just been checking his phone constantly. It seems like every 15 minutes, wondering what Kawhi would do as far as that decision is concerned. He made it, and he's headed to the L.A. Clippers.
Is he pleased with that?
I think that he's a green teamer through and through. Everything is through his green-tinted Celtic glasses, so I'm sure he is very happy that Kawhi is no longer in the Eastern Conference. But then again, about 365 days ago, there was another major hurdle, if you remember, in the Eastern Conference, Larry Johnson. And he took his talents to Southern California as well. And everybody was rejoicing. And everybody was very, very high and optimistic on the Celtic chances in the East. No longer. The big bad wolf had gone somewhere else, and the Celtics were just going to cruise. Remember that, Larry, last year? Kyrie was going to be healthy.
Yeah.
Hayward was going to be healthy. They were loaded, 10 deep, all this young talent, Brown and Tatum. And it was going to be a cakewalk in the East. And it was just a question of how they were going to fare in the NBA Finals. Well, how'd that work out? Didn't work out too well.
Well, the problem that you're going to have even now, as it goes through the offseason and waiting for next year, is what kind of attitude are Brown and Tatum going to have now coming to the table? Nobody's heard from them. No quotes or anything. How's their attitude?
Is this just addition by subtraction? Kyrie's gone. You don't have to worry about that toxin in the locker room anymore. So all of those dynamics are out.
I don't know why we didn't know more of a pain in the behind Kyrie was.
We knew. What do you mean we didn't know?
Nobody ever really came out and uncovered what was going on. We knew he was pouting and moody and all these other things. But, I mean, really blowing it open long before he got out of town.
Well, all the things that conspired against the Celtics really came to a head in that Milwaukee series. We knew they were dysfunctional.
Well, that was terrible.
Right. The biggest problem...
Well, how about the seventh game when he decided to get his nose operated on? He couldn't wait a day after the Cavs was over?
The year before.
Yeah.
And the problem with that seventh game in that Cavs series is when you had Rozier and Tatum and Brown all playing well up until the fourth quarter of that game at the Boston Garden, they really believed they didn't need Kyrie Irving. We didn't need Gordon Hayward. We are developing talent. We're going to take it to the next level the next year. That didn't work out. And, of course, there's a lot of speculation that the worst thing that Jason Tatum could have done in last year's offseason, last summer, was working out with Kobe. And we know that Kobe tends to be a little abrasive, maybe a little self-centered and narcissistic. He and Shaq didn't exactly get along in their L.A. days. So Tatum came back not only a different player but a different personality, and that certainly didn't help as well.
But I'll tell you one thing, though. One thing I did glean out of last year, I don't have as much respect for Ainge or Stevens.
I think it got out of control. That's a majority opinion now.
I think it got out of control, and neither of them really did anything definitively to try and get the train back on tracks. Now, and if they did, we didn't know about it.
Well, again, think about it. Go back a summer ago. Kyrie going to get healthy. Hayward is going to come back from that terrible leg injury. Brown and Tatum a year older. And this is the team that was inevitably going to run roughshod through the LeBron-less East, and it was a preordained trip to the finals. And Giannis got better. Milwaukee got better.
No, what really happened to send that whole Celtics destiny down the drain was the injury. In the beginning of the year, the Hayward ankle injury, not only was it devastating for him, but we found out later, it also tore the team apart.
But that was 2 years ago.
I understand that, right. But that was the genesis of it. And then Stevens decided he was going to start forcing him back in there anyway. The other guy saw that, look, he wasn't ready to play. He really couldn't play up to where they needed him to play. And it caused a bad chemistry, and it got worse and worse and worse.
Right. But I do think if you're looking for any sliver, any scintilla of hope in Celtic land, Kawhi departing Toronto at least is, okay, one fewer team to worry about in the East. I remember like maybe a third of the way in to the regular season last year, and remember that Toronto got off to a big start, and then they were overtaken by Milwaukee as far as best record was concerned. But we looked at each other, you know, maybe the Celtics aren't going to be the best team in the East. And then we saw all the dysfunction that was happening. I don't know where you were. I was pretty aware of what was happening and how Kyrie was definitely not the player and leader that we wanted him to be with the Celtics. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard is a great leader. What we saw in San Antonio in his last season wasn't what we saw in Toronto. So good news for the Celtics. At least Kawhi's not in the East. Very good news for the NBA. Tremendous balance, not only in L.A., but in the Western Conference. And I guess you do have a little bit of parity. The Golden State Warrior era, we can put a bow on that. That is signed, sealed, delivered, and gone.
Yeah, the injuries are devastating.
Right.
If I were doing a cartoon on this, I'd have Ainge and Stevens out in the living room with a vacuum cleaner and looking under seat covers and pillows and everything, trying to see what they can scrape together. Because really, they need... they need a better big man in the middle and stuff than they have now.
So Cantor is not your answer.
I think he's good on offense. Yeah. I don't think he's going to give them the defensive presence they need.
No. Horford just solid at
he
both ends of the court.
We didn't appreciate him as much as we should have.
Right. And obviously the 76ers do. And I think some of Al's qualities could come back.
Fit right in.
And,
right
and
in
haunt
there.
The Celtics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kemba and Cantor are the additions.
Now, the other question to ask around here is, do people really give a damn around here?
About the Celtics or Kawhi?
Both. Both.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this. Well, I was driving
just,
in.
Just Patriots fever and let's go straight ahead. Who cares?
You have Patriots fever right now?
It's starting to, the oven's getting warmed up.
I know that my son's already made his request. We live about 10 minutes away from Foxborough, and each and every year we make our 10-minute pilgrimage over to training camp. And it's always like, you know, it's always 90 degrees. The sun is beating down on the field.
Oh, God.
Not a pleasant experience.
I used to go twice a day and everything.
Down in Rhode Island?
In my younger days, yeah.
Yeah, back in Smithfield.
Smithfield. Yeah. I would go all the way back to Curry College.
Wow, you are dedicated,
Mike
young man.
Mike Taliaferro, he's one of the greatest practice quarterbacks I've ever
Except
seen.
Except his name wasn't pronounced Mike Taliaferro. That's the way
Tolliver.
It looked. Tolliver. Yeah. That's the way it looked on the back of his jersey. If you looked at his jersey, it said Taliaferro.
Yeah,
but he actually pronounced it Tolliver for whatever reason.
One of the better practice quarterbacks, though. He could throw a ball.
By the way, speaking of the Patriots, certainly very, not sad news, but certainly sobering news. Teddy Bruschi suffering another stroke 14 years after his initial one on Thursday. It was a mini stroke. It's called a TIA.
Was he doing anything at the time?
I don't believe he was doing anything strenuous, but he did have arm weakness, face drooping, speech difficulties. He recognized the symptoms, went to the hospital, and is doing well. Now, a few months ago, he had announced his intentions to run in the marathon for stroke awareness. And I'm wondering if he might have second thoughts about that. It's a long way away.
I'll tell you, you've been in yourself. You had to go in, and every year you have to go in for a checkup. And I always said, one time somebody asked me about it, I said, you're always nervous. And I said, are you a man of faith and you're nervous? I said, listen, once you've been through these type of things, you're always worried about it tapping you on the shoulder.
As you well know.
You never know.
Yep.
And from henceforth, those are the few moments that will bring you to a quiet pause while you have to go in and get a checkup or whatever. And like I said, I just about thought I was invincible with that stuff. 12 years, and I was fine.
Yeah, and you would, you know, usually when you have cancer, it's 5 years down the line. If the cancer does not come back, they, quote, announce you cured, and some people elect to continue to have scans, others don't. I'm sure Teddy's stroke situation was closely monitored, but remember the big debate was back in 2005, I can't believe it was 14 years ago. He originally said he would not play in that season.
Yeah.
Then he did get medically cleared to play. And I remember you and I both agreed that we thought it was a little foolhardy to go back because you never know. Even though the doctor said it was fine, and in the rest of his career, he was totally fine. So
I'm going to tell you the truth. Yeah. As much as I love the guy, Gronk, love his play and people bouncing off of him and him making that great catch in the Super Bowl, I'm glad he's retired. I hope he stays retired. If you have enough to put some money away, and I understand he's pretty frugal, I the heck with that, man. I'm not going back out there again.
Well, he's got all the money in the world. Apparently, he's never cashed a single one of his Patriot checks. Can you believe that? After, what, nine seasons
well,
in
he
the
was
NBA?
As you know, he was quite NFL. Active with the commercials and the yeah. like, and then he did some movie yeah. recently. So, you know, if he's have, that's another thing I think people have to start realizing. We are fans, and that's all we are, is fans. And the days of going around telling people what they should be doing and shouldn't be doing is so off-centered.
Right. But we're paid to have opinions. And
you can have an opinion, but right. at some point you got to realize that, you know, it's his life.
Right. But I do remember back in 2005, we had that discussion. Boston had that. New England had that discussion. Should Teddy Bruschi return? By that point, he had won three Super Bowls. He had done everything you could possibly accomplish on a football field, and he played another three or four seasons before he retired. And amazing that he was not stricken again. But the good news is this was a mini stroke. He seems fine now.
We praise okay, yep. and that he can move on with the appropriate job at ESPN.
And he's very good at doing that.
And he's very good, yeah. too. Yeah. It's he's not excellent. Just a handoff. He's a very
No, he's not
Good
just,
analyst.
He's not, you know, unlike, and I hate to say this, but there are other Boston athletes.
Name names.
Who have moved on to network jobs at ESPN who are not, shall we say, as effective.
What's your name? You like McGinnis?
He's okay.
Yeah. yeah. Rodney?
Rodney's excellent. Okay. Yeah. I guess I'm just thinking of a certain former Celtic who works on NBA.
Paul Pierce?
I believe that would be his name.
Really? He's got
I don't
opinions?
Think he, I don't, yeah, but he I don't think he I'll has think anything to offer. I don't think he has it. You know, terrific player.
You just don't like him because he's black.
That's it. I'm racist.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. You got me again.
Yeah.
All right. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're going to be here till I believe, 11 o'clock. Last week, in case you were...
I'm leaving at 11. If you want to hang around, you hang around.
In case you were looking for us last week, we were knocked out of our regular slot because of that... what was the name of that series called? It seems like ancient history now.
You know, it doesn't seem that long ago, yeah. that London series. Yeah. What an embarrassment
yeah.
that was.
And once again, when the Americans take on the Brits, the Yanks won. The Yanks won about 230, 40 years ago, and they won again over the weekend. We'll get into that as well. But our telephone number, yes, indeed, 617-779-7937. What do you think of this Kawhi Leonard deal? He's not staying in Toronto. He's going to L.A. Not the Lakers, but the Clippers.
Well, you can really set the table.
I really can. I mean, don't try this at home, ladies and gentlemen. These are trained professionals at work. 617-779-7937. Mustard and Johnson Sports Radio, WEEI.
You just don't like him because he's black.
That's it. I'm racist.
Yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
They traded for Paul George tonight, and they are sending to Oklahoma City essentially a record collection of draft picks. Four first-round picks, four unprotected future first-round wow. picks, a protected future first-round pick, two pick swaps, and outstanding rookie point guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari for Paul George. Paul George came to the Thunder in the last couple of days and asked to be traded to the Clippers. He wanted to play with Kawhi Leonard, and to get this deal done to stave off the Lakers, stave off the Toronto Raptors, the Los Angeles Clippers, Steve Ballmer, Lawrence Frank, their president, made a decision to make, you know, really a historic commitment.
That is the Wojmeister last night, and I mean last night, 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Kawhi Leonard made his decision, ladies and gentlemen. As you heard, he's going to the Clippers. So now you have a third NBA partnership. You have Kyrie and Kevin in Brooklyn. That's going to have to wait a year. You have LeBron and AD in L.A. And in the very same building, the Staples Center, it is Kawhi and PG. And meanwhile, not surprisingly, Boston Celtic fans and people who are basketball fans in New England, not exactly bowled over, I guess. At least,
of course, if Leonard had signed here, then you got a whole different story.
Well, yeah. And the problem is, I think, that while the Celtics gained marginally by the fact that Toronto is no longer an Eastern Conference player, and that's, you know, one fewer team to worry about, you still got to get by the Sixers with Horford. Milwaukee's only going to get better. They re-signed Middleton.
It's not the point that I'm making.
What is the point you're making?
The point that I'm making,
could you be
is,
a little more succinct here?
It doesn't matter what else is going on in the sports world. If it hasn't got to do with the teams around here,
right.
Only thing you can do is drag out a couple of stiffs who you can always rely on calling the show.
Right.
There's always some homeless couple of stiffs who got nothing else to do but to pick up the phone at the wee hours of the morning. That's what you get out of all. I mean, I came in this morning, you were all excited and everything as well. You should be.
No, because this has been the story of the summer.
It has been.
Get out of your parochial basements,
well,
Boston
to these,
sports fans.
Tell it to these stiffs.
I mean, seriously. I have been, and I know my son, Bryson, big-time sports fan. He's been checking ESPN every 10, 15 minutes, waiting for that notification. Where is Kawhi going?
Is he happy? I want him to go to the Lakers.
You did really want him to go to the Lakers?
Oh, yeah.
See, that, I think, would have been a little foolish.
Why?
Well, I know you like LeBron, and so do I. And that's another very much a minority opinion around here. People do not want to see LeBron farewell.
Right.
No matter what uniform he wears, unless
right.
he's wearing a green one,
yeah.
They don't want to see him do well. The resentment, the anger, it's probably just envy.
So any place but the Lakers would be fine.
Yeah, I think you know, it's funny because I was talking to a Celtic fan yesterday, and I said, because I thought at that point it was going to come down to Toronto or the Lakers. And I said, no matter where Kawhi goes, it's not good news for the Celtics, because you never, as a Celtic fan, want to see the Lakers succeed. I don't care what era it is. It's still the Lakers. You're a longtime rival. You don't want to see the Lakers win another championship, because that would put them even at 17 apiece for all-time NBA championships. Celtics still have that very close one championship lead at 17-16. And, of course, if he stays in Toronto, then the Celtics just don't really have much of a shot at beating them or Milwaukee. So he goes to the Clippers. That helps if you're a Celtic. But it still puts you in a position now that the dust has settled and all the hypotheses and all the speculations and everything else is over. Kawhi has made his decision. Paul George goes, now you have three partnerships in the NBA.
You know what it is? What? I'm just not much of a Clippers fan. I'm just not. I don't dislike
them.
I
love Doc.
But yeah, I know.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I don't even like the way he left, if the truth be told.
Right. So. But he's a terrific coach. And, you know, they unloaded Tobias Wolf. They unloaded Blake Griffin last year. And they still played well in the second half of the year. Didn't make the NBA playoffs. It's very difficult to do that in the West. But still, they have a decent roster. Kawhi's going to make him instantaneously good. And it's going to really make the West fascinating. And it pretty much, in the East, leaves it to Milwaukee, Sixers, and I think the Celtics, you have to say, are in the mix. I think it hurts to lose Kyrie from a talent point. Certainly hurts to lose Al Horford. But you can't say that they don't have a shot next year.
I didn't say they don't have a shot.
Right.
But I'm not as excited about them as I was before the way they were going.
And you know, here we are with Kawhi making this, I would say, earth-shattering decision on a day that L.A. had a 7.1 on the Richter scale earthquake. As a matter of fact, in Las Vegas, the Knicks and Pelicans were playing a game, and the shock waves actually traveled 238 miles to Las Vegas from L.A.
They
canceled the game with about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter of that summer league game. All right, let's get to the phones. Of course, all this talk about Kawhi, all those...
Dial a stiff, 617-779-7937.
So what do we lead off with? The fact that the Yankees managed to beat the Red Sox a couple of games last week.
Yankees won last night. They beat Tampa. Yeah,
so, of course, Mike is on the phone again. All right, Mike, go ahead.
Hi, fellas.
I thought you had a job.
All I do is work. Are you kidding me?
I'm sure you're calling because you can't wait to discuss all the repercussions, ramifications, implications of the Kawhi Leonard the Clippers situation.
That's first on my agenda.
Yeah, right. That's what we thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know something? This juggernaut in the Bronx is just amazing. And they're doing it without their whole complement. That's what's amazing. I mean, they got guys all over the DL. It's just, it's really remarkable. I have to admit, I would have never envisioned this in a million years. Not in a million years.
They were one of the favorites going into this season, but we didn't realize that they would remain a favorite and play well after all.
Who are you talking about? The Clippers?
Yeah, the Clippers. Hey, by the way, for a couple of things about the Red Sox, you keep hearing these analysts say, well, they're better than their record. Well, you remember what a certain football coach
But,
Mike, you would have to admit, you cannot dismiss them. They are the defending champions. I know it's hard to repeat. You do not want to play the Red Sox in a playoff series.
Are the Red Sox the favorite for the second wild card? Yes. Is it a slam dunk? Certainly not. I mean, they're behind Cleveland. They're behind Oakland, and they're tied with Texas.
I've been pretty consistent about it all year. They're too talented not to make the playoffs.
All right.
Okay?
All right. Well, you may be right, Craig, but let's put it this way. I agree with you that they're the favorite, but I wouldn't bet money on it. Okay? It's not a slam dunk.
Mike, why don't you make one of your classic bets, which Craig never pays up for.
I didn't pay up for. I ended up having to shell out all kinds of money so you could eat for free at Fleming's back in 2005. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Well, that was the all-time great. I have to say.
The Red Sox were up by five games going to the month of September in 2005, and they caught them and actually tied them, but they had a better series record, and I had to shell out hundreds of dollars to feed you and all the other Yankee scum.
It was just a terrific time. And by the way, remember what Larry Lucchino did? He put the Red Sox on top at the end of the season. Remember that?
Even though the Yankees had actually won the division that year.
Mr. Drysdale.
But Mike, as much as you would like the Red Sox to crash and burn, because I know that's really more important than even having the Yankees win.
No.
Because Shad and Floyd is your middle name. It's very difficult to emerge from the wild card with the one and done scenario. I understand that. But they're going to go to the playoffs, and you don't. Okay. They're going to have the best record, most likely, but who knows what's going to happen in the second half of the year. What are they, one or two games up on the Astros for best record?
The Yankees are more than that. They're a couple of games up.
Okay, so they get the best record. Say the season ends today, and the Red Sox get that other wild card. They win the wild card. They play the Yankees in the best of five. You don't want to play the Red Sox in the best of five.
Well, I'm more than happy to. It's not bothering me. The Yanks.
You saw what happened over in London.
Even though the Red Sox have managed to win how many games against the Yankees so far this year?
One.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about Eovaldi? They're moving him to a closer.
I'm glad you brought that up, Larry, because I agree with the people on your station who are saying they don't think this is going to work. And Dennis Eckersley, did you see what Dennis Eckersley said? He said, just what I said. He said, listen, I've done both. And it is completely different when you're coming in the ninth inning than when you're starting. It's like night and day. And it is.
Well, wait a minute. If there's any guy who is a perfect example of someone who was able to make that transition, no one did it better in the history of sports than Dennis Eckersley did.
Is Nathan Eovaldi Dennis Eckersley?
Well, Dennis Eckersley obviously had a much better starting career than Eovaldi did.
Did he, yeah. Did he have two Tommy John surgeries?
No, but the Tommy John is not the devastating injury it used to be. You can bounce back from that. The difference is, but remember, going back to he was in no man's land for three or four seasons. Talk about Eckersley. He was on the scrap heap basically. La Russa rescued him from oblivion when he became a closer. It wasn't like he was a good starter and then he became a closer. So I don't see why Evaldi can't do that. He's got the great fastball.
All right. Even if he does, Craig, that's not. They still need more than that in the bullpen.
Well, they need a closer. They need someone that they can say, here is our closer, which they do not have. And we know in the modern era it's very difficult for a closer by committee to be successful. It never works.
So they also need a setup guy. Barnes and Brazier, whatever his name is, aren't cutting it. Okay? They're just not.
Right. Well, right now you can say, thanks for the call, Mike. The Red Sox
are... You viciously cut him off.
Eminently mediocre. They're, what, six games over 500. They beat the teams they're supposed to beat, and they don't beat the teams that are their true rivals in the American League. They haven't managed to beat the Astros in the regular season this year, haven't managed to beat the
Yankees.
Are you
that excited about baseball right now?
No, but no, I'm excited about Kawhi Leonard.
Who?
Kawhi Leonard. What do we get? What kind of calls do we get? We get the usual Yankee
scum. I told you,
scum.
Get these Yankee stiffs who
I
call
know.
Up.
The Yankees win a game. They beat the Red Sox twice in London, so these guys are still celebrating 7 days later. John and Malden, you're next on Sports Radio.
Yankee talk. What a great game that was last weekend.
So, John, what was more exciting? The Yankees scoring a bunch of runs in the 11th inning last night or Kawhi Leonard going to the Clippers?
Well, actually, you know what I'm really excited about, Craig? Really excited about?
What's that?
You see a guy tomorrow with a Blue Oyster Cult shirt on at Gillette Stadium. That'll be me.
That'll be you. I'll be looking for
that'll
you.
Be
what,
me.
What section of Gillette will you be there?
Unfortunately, I won free tickets off the classic rock radio station up the dial, so I'm going to be in Binocularville, in 306 or 309.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I don't recommend. I saw the Springsteen, the Rising Tour in 03 at Gillette, as you know, the stage is in the south end zone. I was in the north end zone. Not a good place to be. So I will be much
closer.
Yeah, but
at least the acoustics are great, though.
The acoustics aren't bad. I saw Springsteen close again a couple of years ago, and it was good. I'm going to be in the, I don't know what section it is. It's basically behind the Patriot bench, which is not to the left of the stage. Not too bad.
That's pretty good.
Not too bad.
Work.
I didn't realize that blues artist extraordinaire Gary Davis Jr. will be opening for the Stones tomorrow night.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
So I will be looking for you, John. I'll get my binoculars out, be looking for that Blue Oyster Cult t-shirt.
That's right. Blue Oyster Cult t-shirt from 81. It's a classic.
Don't fear the Reaper, baby.
Yeah. Now, listen, I'd love to talk about the musical chairs, which we call the NBA, but I could care less. I will say this. The Celtics got nothing going on right now. I mean, nobody wants to come here. They all want to leave here. And with this musical chairs, I don't know how people can follow it and be fans. I mean, talk about the ultimate in mercenaries. I mean, these guys just bounce around left and right.
Shocking.
Now.
Shocking. They're called professionals,
no, you know what,
John. They get paid to play.
Okay, in all fairness, what John's point is a cogent one, that for years this team has worked. I know, I couldn't help it.
That deserved an extra hiccup just for that cogent point.
For years.
That deserves five hiccups.
For years, this team has worked hard to get some people to come here.
Yeah.
And then they finally do, and then you have this Kyrie thing mess up, and then Horford leaves.
Well, the issue again, as I said, let's get back in the Wayback Machine, back in the DeLorean, and go back 365 days. Celtics were sitting pretty. Danny had all his ducks in a row. Everything was going to coalesce into at least an Eastern Conference championship. And now the Celtics are also Rans. They're on the periphery. They may be one of the teams that, as I was listening this morning to satellite radio coming in, one of the eight teams that may have a shot in this suddenly parity-driven NBA. Let's talk about it. 617-779-7937. We've had enough Yankee talk for today. Please, ladies and gentlemen, Mike and John, they've weighed in. We've extinguished them. So let's talk about
some. They've been on hold since last week.
We've expunged the scum. We no longer need to talk about the Yankees. Let's get into a little Celtics, a little NBA. Where as Teddy would say, where are all the NBA fans? 617-779-7937. It's Mustard and Johnson. We're here till 11 o'clock. And the return of Mark with a C, Andy with a Y. It is James and Hart right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
But John's point is a cogent one.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
I believe it's more like, because I know Kawhi has had his eye on the Lakers. Like, they started, I tweeted a week or so ago that the Lakers were his to lose. So they started out with an advantage. So I think that it's maybe 60-40, 55-65% Lakers over the Raptors.
And as always, I'm an idiot and I'm wrong.
That was Chris Broussard along with Mutt weighing in yesterday when we were still pretty much in the dark as to where Kawhi Leonard was going to go. The place that we thought he was not going to go. And Chris Broussard and many other quote-unquote experts believed that the Clippers were out of the Kawhi stakes.
Wrong.
So much for that. 2 o'clock this morning Eastern Time, Kawhi made his decision. Woj got it on ESPN. And the NBA has been pretty much in overdrive ever since. You wouldn't know it from
the response
here. They're
kind of slow down after this, I think.
But it has been a very interesting summer from the moment the Raptors put the finishing touches on that NBA championship in Game 6 after Durant and Clay went down with the Warriors. The Warrior season is over. KD and Kyrie get together in Brooklyn. LeBron and AD get together in L.A., and in the very same building, it is Kawhi and, yes, PG, Paul George. What I didn't realize, Larry, he was third in the MVP balloting last year. Paul George had a great year in OKC.
But you wouldn't know it.
Yeah, big comeback year. So Russell Westbrook, once again, left stranded. First it was Durant, now Paul George. And, of course, Harden back in the day. So who knows what's going to happen with them. So 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. And lo and behold, we have someone who's actually interested in that Kawhi decision from last night. As far as the Clippers are concerned, it's Kenny in Cambridge, and he's next
Kenny
on Sports Radio. What's going on, Kenny?
How are you, Craig, Larry?
What's up?
Thank you.
Well, I'm one of the people that was pretty convinced that Kawhi is, I can't, for a guy like Kawhi Leonard, everybody, you know, how's he going to handle, he's not going to be able to be the same Kawhi Leonard as far as the media goes in L.A. How's he going to, I don't picture the guy in L.A. I mean.
Well, he's from L.A.
He's
comfortable in
San Diego, though. He's not from L.A.
Southern California.
I mean,
I thought he was going to go to the Lakers because I don't think he likes that kind of exposure, being the front guy.
Well, being with LeBron, he was going to have much more exposure than, you know, the Clippers are always the other team in L.A.
Not anymore.
Brother. Yeah, he's the NBA champion. You know, it would be certainly if he went to a place like Brooklyn. That would have been difficult. And I, you know, Brooklyn wasn't necessarily in the running for him, but, you know, that might have been a destination at one point. I think New York would have been hard. I think Toronto and San Antonio have been perfect places for him to play because he can do it very quietly. I think it's certainly the stakes are going to be higher in L.A. Expectations are going to be higher. You know, if you really think about it, when San Antonio was winning championships with Kawhi, he wasn't the star. He was a great player, but he wasn't the star. And in Toronto, they're, you know, Maple Leaf crazy. They love their hockey. He could do it very quietly in Toronto as well. I think you make a good point, Kenny. In L.A., things are going to be a little bit different. Yep.
They will. They will. I don't think it really for Kawhi Leonard. I think he's the best player in the league, and I don't think it. I don't think in terms of his play, it makes it. He could. It doesn't matter where he plays. He's going to be great no matter where he is. But the hardest thing, the most painful thing, when I watch Kawhi is the post game press conference. He looks like he's in pain the whole time.
He doesn't like that stuff.
He does not like it.
He is an NBA rarity. Because, you know, the league is filled with divas, and he is so much the anti-diva, it's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah. The only other point I just had to make is I think, you know, they talk about the Lakers, Kawhi was headed for the Lakers. I just cannot believe that both, what's his name, you know, Durant and Irving are going to Brooklyn, and the only reason, to go to Brooklyn as opposed to the Knicks. I mean, New York, Madison Square Garden, that's where you want to be. But they got James Dolan running the show, and he that's the reason they don't have those guys. And until they get rid of him, they'll never get these guys. They
well, how are you going to get rid of him? He owns the team. There's just no way. And the NBA's not going to dump him. I mean, look how long it took him to get rid of Donald Sterling.
They did it with the Mets. Look at the Mets. If the fans really get together, they could get rid of this guy, and they're going to have to do that. Otherwise, you've got to have a good team. You've got to have a star team in New York, in the New York Knicks, not the Nets. The Nets are a second tier.
Well, you know what? The Clippers are second tier, too, and who knows what's going to happen out there. The Nets, when Durant and Kyrie playing together in a couple of years, maybe Durant gets back at the end of the regular season, who knows, next year. That is going to be fascinating. And if I'm a player in the NBA and I want to go to the New York area, I want to go to the Nets, Larry. Thanks for the call, Kenny, because at least the Nets have a organization that has some understanding of what they're doing. I mean, Dolan is completely out there.
Yeah.
Maybe he has to be by far the worst owner in the NBA.
That's why I'm surprised Durant wanted to go there.
No, I'm talking about the Nets.
I know.
The Nets.
The Knicks, I'm saying. That's why I'm surprised he didn't want to go. Why he wanted to go there, I could never figure
out.
And
I think it's a misconception that you always hear this, and Kenny's not the only one who spouts this, that somehow or another the league has to have the Knicks be a strong franchise.
Well, I don't believe so.
Okay, wait a minute. When was the last time the Knicks were legitimate players in the NBA? When Patrick was there, right? 90s?
Yeah.
Okay, went to a couple NBA finals, didn't win. Haven't won a championship since 73. I think the NBA has done pretty well, thank you, without the Knicks being championship contenders.
With the ice envelope?
The ice envelope? What was that? The
Willis Reed draft.
The Willis Reed draft?
Remember when they drafted Willis Reed and there were conspiracies all over for the Knicks?
I remember Patrick Ewing.
Who did I say?
You said Willis Reed.
Oh, no, not Willis Reed.
You mean Patrick Ewing in 85 when Dave DeBuscher was the GM.
Yeah.
And they thought
the envelope was frozen.
They pushed the ping pong balls toward the Knicks. I don't know what they had, ping pong balls or envelopes or whatever it was. And we were absolutely sure in 1985 that when Ewing went to the Knicks, remember, that was going to completely change the balance of the Eastern Conference and never interfere with any of the Bird-era teams. And they got to a couple finals, lost to Rockets in 94, Spurs in 99, and haven't really been, and obviously in the 21st century, have been woe be gone, and that's being kind. I don't believe the Knicks have to be great. I think that with KD and Kyrie together and healthy in 2 years, the Nets will be huge favorites in New York and an interest, obviously a big force in the Eastern Conference. And once again, we ask, where does that leave the Celtics? All right, hour number one in the book, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Your call's coming up. Hour number two, Mark James, Andy Hart at 11. It all happens right here on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle. vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.